gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, it's a big Monday show. The rudeness, the rude pundit coming up less than half an hour. Carl Frisch of Media Matters for America. Great piece this week. Hero, we will co-host Right Wing World with me next hour. And then, of course, Edie McClurg.
That's
the
right.
Delightful Mondays with McClurg, hour number three today. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. And see the new pictures of Mags and Fred. Mags and Fred. I did, I got the antlers to stay on Fred briefly.
Oh, Lord.
A little party on Saturday. Oh, Jim Ward was there.
Oh.
I had my Christmas cap on, and I did briefly get the antlers to stay on. But Grand Pyrenees, not so much with the Christmas costumes.
Okay.
I have a friend that insists her cats love their Christmas outfits, and I don't think cats enjoy clothing of any kind.
They don't enjoy much.
All right, can I have some festive holiday music, please? I had a festive holiday weekend. I made sauerkraut. I made my festive, it's a holiday Miller dish.
Although, according to your brother, that's not what it's called. It's called something else, and you mentioned
it's
it.
No, sauerkraut.
No, he corrected you. He said it was something else, something Polish sounding.
He's a right-wing tool. What does he know? I have a little... Oh, we watched Airplane. We had movie night.
Oh.
Jim Ward was there. And his lovely wife, Janiqua.
Janine. No.
No. We can't
Janet.
Remember.
No.
Sure. No. Anyway.
Huh.
Oh, anyway, and so I had my
Janice.
Own...
That's
yes!
It.
Yes! 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 I had my own Chevy Chase's. It was like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation at my house because I actually... I was feeling festive, so I decided to put lights up for the party, you know, the outdoor lights. And chicks with the that stuff, not so much. Because we did the whole thing across the whole front of the house and realized that there was only an outlet on one side, and so it was the wrong side. We were like, wait.
What?
This is, it's the wrong end. See, because there's only an outlet on one side of the house, so you really have to have the end that ends with the thing.
Right.
That you plug
you
in.
Know.
But I had, so... They're probably, and probably somebody listening, probably a dude and somebody with a penis, probably knows, like, what I could have done. Like, probably there was an adapter, but we didn't know. So we had to undo the whole thing and redo the whole thing around the other, so that the plug went the other way.
Don't you know a few lesbians that could have helped you with this?
None were available. I don't know those kinds of lesbians.
No?
What?
I mean, come on.
I mostly lipstick. I don't...
Use your...
We were like, I don't... What do you...
Use your skills and contacts.
Anyway, it all worked out fabulously well. I got a twee. We decorated a twee. All right. And I'm feeling festive. We go on vacation Friday. Because what... Why?
Why?
Because really big stuff always happens while we're on vacation.
But Hal Sparks will be here providing live programming.
Yes.
All next week.
And next Friday... A Christmas extravaganza,
yes.
I understand, is in the works.
Yes.
Is it a Christmas carol? It's something with fabulous comedians. I think I might even make an appearance.
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Yes. All right.
And we've got a big day tomorrow. You know who comes back?
Charlie Pierce!
Yes!
Charlie Pierce is back.
Our Tuesday pal, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe.
Please continue your internet rumors about why he hasn't been here. All right.
Let's just say he's now allowed to come back.
Seeing the way you say that, people are automatically think it's something that... it's not. Nothing to do with me.
It has nothing to do with the Stephanie Miller Show.
No. Stephanie Miller Show had nothing to do with why.
No.
Okay. Did I mention you can email us at the StephanieMiller.com? Indeed, you can. Patty in Fort Lauderdale, we've been talking about the conservatives tinkering... Chris, tinkering with the Constitution, just, you know, like little elves.
Yes, I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Just certain things are not, the 14th Amendment, you know, something.
Whatever.
I'd like to peel a few things out like string cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Patty and Fort Lauderdale staff, while the conservatives are busy fixing the Constitution, they might want to take a whack at shoring up their Bible so it aligns more with their philosophies and actions, Patty.
Yes.
Good idea. Parts of that they don't really... They don't like so much either. Helping the poor. Blech.
Coming up next hour in Right Wing World, Judge Andrew Napolitano wants to take a hunk out of the Constitution.
Does he?
Yes, you'll be hearing that.
Is it a hunk the size of his giant forehead?
No, he has...
Or a smaller hunk?
He has a tiny forehead.
Oh, that's true. I'm sorry. He's Judge No Forehead. Who am I thinking of? Oh, Meg Whitman. That's different.
Yeah. Oh.
No, he has He looks like a Wookiee. He has his hair. No,
you know who? You know
the
what?
Wig goes down way too low or something. It ends right above his eyebrows.
You know what he looks like?
Hmm.
A Monchichi.
What's that?
It's a toy from the 80s. You probably don't know.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. A Monchichi.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see.
Google it.
Wait a minute. Hang on. Oh, I got, plowing through my hate mail for being for the tax compromise.
Okay.
Yes, I hate the tax cut for the rich. But listen, yeah, you had to bring the big dog out. The big dog says it's okay. Bill Clinton was at the, that was a little bit of a, huh?
Yeah.
He brought Bill Clinton to the, he brought a wingman to the press conference.
And the wingman kind of took over.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta go.
Yeah. Obama said, I have a Christmas party to go to. You continue.
I'm just saying stuff he said makes sense, and the point has been made, Chris, that this is a lot of the same stuff that Clinton went through, and I think we would all say on balance he had a pretty successful presidency. That I all right. Anyway, Leland, I just like this letter. Leland of Garden Grove, dear Stinky Miller, you have put several coats of wax on the old car that President Obama and his new Republican friends are trying to sell, but I ain't buying it. The tires are bald, the radiator's rusted out, and the interior looks like Tom DeLay threw a 5-day bender in there. It's only guaranteed for 2 years, and even that has conditions. Sorry, but I'm keeping my Levi Gremlin with the used Yugo motor. Only 39 more payments, and I own that bitch. I understand the criticisms of the tax deal, I really do. But, look, even Paul Krugman is finding good parts of it. And as Bill Clinton said, I just think this is the best we can do. And I know it sucks. I know it. But
what did you think of Bernie Sanders' filibuster-like event
on
Friday?
Oh, I loved it. It was Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Even though it was against what you're for?
Well, yes, because I love Bernie Sanders, and I'm glad people are standing up for what they believe in. I've said this before. I don't.
But he was fighting tooth and nail.
I agree with the president that I don't understand why we can't disagree without being disagreeable. I love Keith Olbermann, and I love Lawrence O'Donnell, and I love Randy Rhodes, and I love Ed Schultz. I love everybody.
Right, but he was fighting tooth and nail against what you are for.
And that there's somebody I would quote about that. I may not agree with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it.
Okay.
Patrick Henry? Patrick? I think so.
Was it Patrick Henry?
Somebody help me. Okay. Don. Oh, here's a touching story, though. There is something that's bipartisan, and I think this is a happy, happy story. Subject line, there is hope. As a happy, clappy liberal, I printed this immediately. Don writes, Stephen the Mooks, I live in a very red part of Ohio. And was out shopping with my wife. We were at a display of books in a local warehouse club. I saw an elderly couple talking near a stack of Sarah Palin's unsold new books. I fully expected them to place the book in their basket, yet as I leaned in to eavesdrop, I heard this. God, I'm getting so sick of this woman. Hasn't she earned enough money? His wife responded, oh, she's laughing all the way to the bank. Another woman who was also eavesdropping on them said to them that she too was sick of Palin and wished she would go away. I walked by and chimed in a cheerful amen. Four total strangers in a red state sharing uniform distaste for Christmas for Sarah Palin. A Christmas miracle. God bless us, everyone. Don, the short, fat, bald ex-Marine of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, Don, touching holiday story.
We did send her to Haiti over the weekend.
Oh, could you vomit anymore with this cheap political photo op? I mean, her life is just, it's like, oh, please.
She was about a year too late, I think.
Oh, please. It was so, exactly. It was so, what's the word? Just.
Opportunistic?
Yes!
Hey,
thank
you.
You know Mondays are more than a little drunker than usual. And so
interracial marriage?
I'll take any kind of water weenie you throw me.
All right.
Yes. No.
No.
Says no.
That was the last one that
no.
you were grasping for.
No, this is different.
Okay.
Yeah, what a... I mean, seriously, what a cynical just photo op for her. She toured Haiti. comforting quake and cholera victims. And
cholera.
Cholera. Pardon me. Excuse me.
Cholera, something
in
different.
A tightly managed press opportunity, yeah. Aren't they all with yeah. Sarah Palin? She spoke only briefly to reporters and refused to take questions.
Of course.
Yes, because it's all just about her. The reason why I won't be answering questions is because we don't need to be getting political here today, okay, folks?
Well, then why did you go?
Yeah,
God.
Because that wasn't at all political and about running for president, was it? Listen, we don't need to be getting political here. I just happened to. Oh, I didn't even know there'd be cameras. Hello.
Did she escape the cholera?
Dad, how did those cameras get here?
Did she escape the cholera?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. I love this. As part of the fair and balanced Associated Press story, intended or not, the Haiti tour can only boost Palin's political resume, particularly in helping answer critics who say she has weak foreign policy credentials. Oh, so she shows up in Haiti for a photo op, and that means now she has foreign policy credentials? Please.
She has no foreign policy
credentials. The fact that she was accompanying U.S. evangelist Franklin Graham could also shore up religious right ahead of a possible duel with Mike Huckabee. Isn't she clever? I'm sure it was all about the Haiti earthquake victims for her. And then she went on, she brought Tad and Bristol with her. And maybe Bristol danced. Maybe Bristol danced for
did
the cholera victims. Maybe that to cheer them up because she's such a fabulous dancer. She said young people, perhaps through Miss Bristol's eyes, will be able to see that what really matters in life is not the material comforts that we seem to crave and strive for in the U.S. Well, especially you bunch.
Right. She was telling the people in Haiti.
Money-grubbing hillbillies. She's talking about life is not about material comforts, really. Well, why do you keep taking speaking fees and book deals and reality shows?
Was she telling the people in Haiti, Haiti being one of the poorest countries on the face of the earth, not to be materialistic? Uh-huh. What a bitch!
She says She says young people, perhaps through Bristol's eyes, will be able to see that what really matters in life is not the material comforts that we seem to crave and strive for in the U.S., yes, some of us a little more than others, not to mention any names.
Oh, my
Caribou
God.
Barbie. Oh,
God, the more I hear about this
woman. Let's not begin all political down here. You betcha also, too. Go ahead, take my picture, though. Oh, that's just...
The more I hear about this woman, the more I hate her.
All right, 17 minutes. Got that out of my mind. All right, so vote today on the tax deal. Let's talk about that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. Karen in Whittier, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Mama.
Hello, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sick of Bill Clinton because, you know,
already?
I get a little tired of him swooping in like he is God's gift when it was his policies that stuck us here along with Bush's.
Are you referring to like NAFTA or?
NAFTA. I'm doing glass.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, you think this is bad as the rest of them, yet you come in
Well,
here.
Look, Clinton did some things we obviously disagree with, Karen, but I don't think you can vaguely, I mean, we know the economy we had under Clinton, we know the economy we had under Bush.
He comes in looking like, I don't know, it's everybody looks to him like he's a savior, and it's kind of like, yeah, but he's... We everybody had a hand in undoing the last 30 years. And poor Obama is sitting here trying to be a good guy. And this is kind of what happened to Jimmy Carter. Every time the good guy comes in.
Well, you know, Karen, you know what's interesting, I think, historically and politically that's going on right now, as you watch Bill Clinton on TV with him, is Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
You know, that was another compromise at the time, you know, 17 years ago, which, of course, has ended up being a ridiculous policy, but it was the best he felt like he could get at that particular point.
No, that was politically, you got to understand, Clinton's a true political animal.
Right.
Obama is less of one.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is what can make Bill Clinton look good? That is what Bill and Hillary Clinton are. They're
right.
True political
animals. But, you know, Karen, one thing I have to say, and somebody else noted this, I think, I'm trying to remember what writer, but that Obama really is, I mean, he's getting a lot of the same criticism that Clinton got back then, as you know,
no,
as you remember, but
more...
he actually is more liberal. And you remember, that's why because Hillary was thought to be the more centrist DLC kind of candidate. And but, I mean, even as frustrated as we are, Karen, he is more liberal. Any sort of...
What it is, he is more, he is not like Clinton. He's more like Jimmy Carter. He is a true good guy. He is not...
Right, but what I'm saying is he has gotten more liberal things done. I mean, he got health care done. Bill Clinton did not, and it's...
So did Jimmy Carter. Look at what Jimmy Carter did with conservation. Look what Jimmy Carter did.
Yeah.
He's more like Jimmy Carter than he is like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, like I said, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are true political animals, and I'm so, that's another one I'm sick of, is Hillary Clinton. Oh, she would have done she would have gotten votes. She would have gotten a better job. No. They would have eaten her for lunch. They would have spit her out, and she would have gotten nothing done because she's so disliked amongst the right. I mean,
well, you know what, Karen? I just find it of limited value to go back and relitigate that now and
no,
go, oh,
saying,
I wonder what would have happened if Hillary... I mean, it's just,
it's,
you know.
Exactly, but I'm just saying is that,
right.
You know, it's the constant, the Clintons are the saviors. It's like, no, they're just another... It's just politics, whereas Obama is really, I see a man truly trying to get things done.
Yep. Yep, exactly. I mean, and the only thing I'll say is, you know, you look at when he talks about ideological purity, look at all the bills that came out of the House, which, and a lot of them are great, Karen, but guess what? None of them got done. Because of the Senate.
The biggest problem in this country is people don't really know how their government works. And that's the thing, is that the president can only do so much. The executive branch has only so much power. Congress, the legislative branch, holds most of the power, which is the way that our forefathers wanted.
Yeah.
Because that's the people talking, not the king.
Yep, that's right. Karen, good call. Thanks so much, honey.
Thank you.
All right. More importantly, I know a lot of people have asked, how do you make your homemade shake and bake chicken? And I think it's the holidays. I'm becoming quite a foodie. To distract myself.
You can't be a foodie if you eat shake and bake.
To distract myself from politics. I may be a couple hundred pounds when I get back from vacation.
How are you a foodie if you eat shake and bake?
It's a healthy shake and bake. It's homemade. Okay, here's how you do it.
okay.
Ask Jim. It was delicious. I made it Saturday night. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. Okay, so you take the whole chicken, you know, the not whole chicken, all the parts that are already separate.
Right.
Okay. And then you know, wash it, dry it, and then you would dip it into, what do you call it, eggs.
Yeah,
and
you dredge it.
Yes, and then you use Progresso breadcrumbs, Italian style, and you also put some paprika and thyme. Thyme is the special ingredient. Whole bunch of that in there, salt and pepper, and then you roll it in that. You roll it in that stuff, and you put it on a cookie sheet, and then you bake it at, I'm going to say 350 for, 40 minutes or so. Then turn it up to 500 for the last 10, and it makes it nice and crunchy.
It's kind of a simple oven-baked chicken recipe.
You know what? Can't you ever just,
I watch the Food Network.
Just give
this
me
is
some
done
props
all the time.
Or something.
Okay, I give you mad props.
Thank you. Rude Pundit is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know, I think I figured out why you're so cranky. Christmas is 4 days away and you don't even have a tree.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Although you did get a tree this weekend.
I did get a twee.
Yes.
It's a beautiful twee.
And you made...
I made homemade shake and bake chicken. It's delicious! 34 minutes after the hour.
You made a simple... Oven.
Well, I feel like I split the atom, okay? I'm a little domestically impaired. I strung Christmas lights, I decorated
that's
a twee, I made chicken.
That's a recipe that pretty much every mother across the
well,
country knows.
I'm not a mother.
Obviously.
To me, it's akin to creating electricity. I'm like, I did it! Eureka!
Although you should use panko breadcrumbs instead of Progresso.
No.
Panko.
No.
It makes for a crispier crust.
No.
Yes, it does.
No.
Yes.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. More importantly, it's Monday.
It's Lee Bobbitt, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Your rudeness, where do you come down on the breadcrumb debate?
I'm more of a panko guy.
Yeah, see?
Bastard. Everyone's against me!
No. Italian breadcrumbs from Progresso.
Thank you.
Panko, please. I'm American.
Oh, come on!
Oh, your rudeness. Hey, we did a Guess the Quote with your as the opposition last week. Obviously not happy about the tax cut deal.
No, I'm not.
Still not?
No, I mean, you know, it's going to pass. So
yes.
I guess that in that way that we liberals are used to doing, we're going to somehow have to just absorb it in and justify it in our frame, in our, you know, ideological frame. Like, well, at least the poor people will get to eat. Thank you, Republicans, for those scraps.
Although in your rude style, it's what happened to the House Republicans was a little more graphically described. A little party with roofies at the White House and how they feel in the morning, and what happened.
Yeah, the stuff that gets written on your head when you pass out when you're roofied at a party. And
sure.
And the strange feelings you have in places you never thought you'd have strange feelings. Yeah.
What the hell happened there? Although you do say, to be sure, Republicans bear almost the entire blame for this debacle. However, almost everyone on the left was telling the president that his approach to bipartisanship was going to bite him on the ass. Republicans acted like Republicans. Obama acted like his ass was made of titanium when it was just flesh, after all. Were you swayed at all by Bill Clinton's arguments?
No.
Okay, well, I'm just asking.
I'll just put it, you know, Bill Clinton was out there. Bill Clinton, the payoff was to be alone. Bill, come in and endorse this, and I'll let you stay alone with the press for an hour in the White House, you know. And for Bill, that's as good as three hookers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've probably heard us all week. I mean, it really is typical liberals, isn't it? I mean, the one thing that I can't help it, somebody, a listener wrote and said, you know, I tuned in MSNBC and Fox, and it was the exact same thing. The president's a loser. And I think that I just can't, I can't help the right do their work sometimes. I mean, I hate this tax cut for the rich, Rude, as much as you do, but I just you know, I got to say, you know, when you listen to the Randy Rhodes and the Lawrence O'Donnells, and I'm just saying there is an argument to be made on the other side.
Right, but I think that we on the left have compromised enough, and I think that there is a point where something, you know, just give us something to make us hang in there, and we're not going to get don't ask, don't tell, it appears. We're not
I don't know about that. I still have hope. You don't on the standalone agreement?
No, I don't even think we're getting the START treaty.
I don't think we're getting much.
I think the only thing that we're getting is the extension of unemployment benefits, which is the only which is a true stimulus to the economy. But you know, I hate when I wake up in the morning and I hear Joe Scarborough, and I sit there and go, holy crap, I agree with that guy, because you know he's right that ultimately what this all is, this entire tax package is just a short term payoff. And it's pushing down the road any kind of tough decisions that need to be made. And I'm not talking about tough decisions about the deficit. That's part of it, but I'm talking about tough decisions that need to be made about how money is spent by the government where that
but
money
I mean, isn't
is coming
there,
from.
But again, you know, isn't there a political reality, which is what Bill Clinton talked about? Is this is only going to get worse in January? I mean, I don't know, you know, after, I mean, what I would ask you is what would you have done after the Chuck Schumer compromise failed in the Senate? I mean, otherwise.
I would have at least fought for a couple more days. I know that sounds like it's just a losing battle. It's tilting at windmills. But why not go full tilt against the Republicans and demonstrating again and again and again how they have obstructed everything.
Yeah, but rude.
But you can change the terms of the debate. Every debate for the last year has been fought on Republican terms. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been fought on the president's terms. When has a minority ever had this much power? And
well, but again, and I don't mean to keep repeating the same things, but again, to me, one of our big problems is these conservatives. So when you say have this much power, unfortunately, we didn't. We kept coming up short a lot of times because of these conservatives.
But the conservatives were able to enact their will because the Republicans gave them rhetorical coverage. Mm-hmm. And if the argument had been played out on Democratic terms, they would have shifted.
Mm-hmm.
This is all fantasy. The reality is that we don't want 2 million people to lose their unemployment.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, you know, Rude. If anybody, you know, what do you call it, sort of notates this weekly, you do, that the Republicans have no soul. They have no shame. You can't, I mean, to me, if you're going to gamble with all those people's lives and go, oh, they'll back down. They'll, you know, have some sense of decency in January. No, they won't. I don't think they were bluffing on unemployment benefits. Do you?
No,
they don't care.
I don't think they were bluffing. But what I mean,
look at the 9/11 vote that you talk about. They have no. They don't care.
No, but they could have gotten more. The fact that there was no guarantee, you know, there was no script laid out. Like, okay, we're going to give you, we'll extend all of the tax cuts, but in the end, what it came down to was Republicans saying, "No, we want to win, and we want to shame you in the process." Mm-hmm. I think one of the great calculations in this, and I wrote about this last week, is in making us turn and making people on the left who are already souring on Obama turn on him more because he was put in an untenable position.
You know what I hate though, Rude, I gotta say, is just that. Literally, the president just can do no right. I mean, I think, you know, somebody said, well, even when they postponed the meeting with him, he should have used the bully pulpit and said, this is disrespecting the office of president. What do you think the storyline would have been 24/7? Ooh, look how thin-skinned the president is. Look how thin-skinned he is. Look at how petty that was.
Oh, well, Reid had an editorial in yesterday's New York Times about how Obama's got to be careful because of the way an angry black man is still perceived.
Yeah.
And you're right, but in coming across as reasonable, he has also made the Republican position seem reasonable.
Why do they pay no political price, though? You write about Senate Republicans, the health of 9/11 responders ain't worth the price. You talk about Senator Enzi signed a letter saying Republicans in the Senate would consider no legislation unless tax cuts for the wealthy were agreed to. Literally, among the hostages, workers that ran into buildings at 9/11 and got sick, right?
Right, because they took an issue that would have been a no-brainer in any other political atmosphere, and they decided to make it to incorporate it into this deficit argument, which we know is BS now, simply because of the repeal of the tax cuts on the wealthy. But they don't. You're right. There's no price to be paid for hypocrisy. I would love to live like Republicans, man. That would be so great. The guilt, the lack of guilt, and the lack of conscience.
Yep.
I could go out there, run over a child, you know, and then go out and snort coke with the child's mom after and feel great about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. When you are basing a political argument on that they have some sense of decency, they don't. They literally, 9/11 workers, screw them. You know, people that are, you know, going to run out of unemployment money right before Christmas, screw them. I mean, that's what's hard, you know.
But they do have a sense that there is a political price. And even though they don't, if they thought that there was going to be some long-term political damage to their brand, then I think that they would actually back down, or again, at least make the compromise more of a horse trade.
Yeah.
You know, give us don't ask, don't tell. Give us start. Give us these things that obviously that the majority.
Well, I know.
Of
and since when did our nuclear security? That's something they're willing to play politics with now. It's like, okay. I mean, it just that's the problem. Is you're right. Things that would never have been even a debate in any other Congress are suddenly
Right, and you know, there's also that flip side of the frustration, which is also watching Republicans and going, oh, why didn't we do this when we were in the minority during the Bush years?
Yeah.
Why didn't we just block everything? God, we're such wimps about this.
Yep. Could you take your organ out? We have some, the rudeness always covers the religious
stuff.
I'm
sorry, what did you just ask me to do?
Not you.
No, she always asks me to take my organ out.
Okay.
Yes. Because you cover the, you know, all the super-duper prayer teams, and because you get the missives from everybody, don't you?
Yes, yes, I subscribe and torture myself that way.
Yes. According to the Family Research Council, God is all about preventing a cloture on votes in the Senate. This is about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They write, may God's people cry out to him to stop the introduction of open homosexuality into our fighting forces. May conservative senators vote against any motion to proceed in filibuster if necessary. And may cloture fail. God protect our troops. So that's what they're working on.
That's what I'm supposed to pray. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to pray that God please make sure the cloture fails.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
and we all know God is more concerned about, you know, football and Grammys and stuff like that. I'm sure cloture's probably down the list a little.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I would just see, how do you live with yourself as a Christian praying for cloture to fail? don't worry about feeding the hungry for a little while. Make sure cloture fails in the Senate.
I love that you, Bill Donahue of the Catholic League motto, we don't have a dental plan for our employees. Isn't that obvious?
Oh, my God. His little corn teeth are just so distracting. I can never pay attention to what he's saying.
And the
doesn't matter. It's best that you don't pay attention to what he's saying.
And the Catholic League is comprised of pretty much just him.
Him.
It's Bill Donahue.
Yeah.
Bill Donahue and, you know, and his mimeograph machine of doom.
He's even smaller than the Westboro Baptist Church, which, to end, you write about. In its increasing effort to be America's most loathed inbred idiots, the piles of from the Westboro Baptist Church have declared that, like, F words for gay men, God also hates Elizabeth Edwards, and as a result, the said piles of will be protesting her funeral. And apparently, they were outnumbered by hundreds of people that showed up in the rain, too.
There were five of them there with their, you know, little signs, and there were 300 people blocking them from being seen at the funeral.
That is your religious right in America today, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Yes, yes. You can protest the funeral of a woman who lost a son and died of cancer.
Yeah. By the way, can I just say, even just reading about the funeral, I cried. I don't know if you heard some of the stuff that her daughter said, but that's my New Year's resolution, is to be more like Elizabeth Edwards. As she lay dying, did you hear that part, that she was holding her daughter's hand and John's hand and comforting them, saying, she kept looking back and forth at them, going, I'm okay, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ugh.
I hope that Mark Halperin and John Heilman every day regret their book.
Yeah.
Where whatever sources they had were turning Elizabeth Edwards into this screeching harridan who was preventing.
Yeah. Trust me, if it were me, that's not what I would be mouthing to John Edwards.
Yeah.
Or me.
Exactly.
It should
be you here.
It was like she was more concerned about their comfort than her comfort.
Yeah.
And that's what.
Yeah, they said
that
she said to the
God.
End she was more concerned about us than, you know, they. Anyway, Rudeness, happy holidays.
Hey.
Love y'all.
Thanks for the cheery end.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Rude, you're going to be talking to House Parks next week.
I am. Hot dog.
Hot diggity.
And we'll see you after the holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right, honey. Love ya.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hooray.
Oh. Yeah. I sobbed reading about the funeral. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Be a reporter, not an opinion person.
It would never occur to me to think of myself as anything other than a reporter.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's a bad man, a gemma. Just as fine as she can be. Hey, she's a bad man, a gemma. Just as fine as she can be.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Senators get their first chance today to vote on the tax cut deal. The White House saying they expect the bill to pass by year's end. Everyone understands what it would mean for the economy if we don't get this done, said David Axelrod yesterday. Dick Durbin said a good cross-section of senators in his party ready to accept the deal. Let's go to Don in Torrance. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Don.
Hey, Stephanie. I wanted to partly just thank you you for being sane. I was getting suicidal for a while over the way the Democrats were turning on Obama. You know, I'm 65, and I remember just before, a few months before Kennedy was shot, the Nation and New Republic were talking about what a failure he was. Clinton was always a failure, and it seems like the Democrats give a president about 3 months, and if he hasn't had miracles, then he's a failure.
Don, the other thing is, you know, Eric Bollard, who I think we're going to have on Thursday, Chris, this week.
Yeah, we're going to try.
Yeah, I mean, he writes a good piece, Don, about the fact that, you know, there is a lot of noise, you know, when you talk about the pundits, that really is different than he was basically saying his numbers are the same, essentially, among Democrats, again, among his core constituents.
I think the Republicans are going to pay a price. I think Rood is wrong. Honestly, the fact is, I sit around with a lot of Republicans in Starbucks, and, you know, the reason the Republicans, I think the reason the Republicans had that sweep was because there is 9% unemployment.
Yep.
Everybody
yep.
who is employed is insecure, and I drive by, you live in L.A. like I do, I drive by shops with paper on the windows all day long, and people are worried. Now, I think people are pretty stupid, but I don't think they're stupid enough for the Republicans. And our biggest problem is the Republicans support their president no matter what idiotic thing they do.
Thank you. Yep. Yep, Don, you and I share frustration, I'm telling you. And a lot of people make the analogy. His numbers are better than, I think, Reagan and Clinton at this point in their presidencies. I mean, so it's
saying Reagan passed his entire agenda with Democratic majorities using conservatives.
Yeah, yep, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. David Axelrod went on to say, we believe when it comes back to the House, that we'll get a vote and we'll prevail there, because at the end of the day, no one wants to see taxes go up on 150 million Americans on New Year's Day. No one wants to see 2 million people lose their unemployment insurance. Chris Van Hollen, our buddy, our pal, he made it clear. I mean, obviously, we talked about this with a couple of Congress people last week. They object most strongly to extending the estate tax. To extending breaks to estates as large as $5 million. He said the package will be taken up in the House, but there will be an effort to change that. He said we are not talking about blocking the whole thing, which is a change from what was said and feared, I think, last week. The president.
I think we can get some broad bipartisan agreement that it needs to be done, but it's going to require a lot of hard work to actually make it happen.
He's talking about overhauling the whole tax code.
Right.
All right. And the president.
At the same time. We can't allow the middle class in this country to be caught in the political crossfire of Washington.
And the big dog, his wingman, he brought
kind of took over.
The agreement taken as a whole is, I believe, the best bipartisan agreement we can reach.
What's his name? Paul Ryan. The Republican made a point that, again, you know, Chris, we were talking about whether people understand actually the inner workings. Because a lot of people were saying, look, people are busy. They don't really get it. They don't really know exactly how the Senate works every day. And half the time we don't. We have to check on rules and, you know, can you do this or can you do that? Or can you use executive order for this? Or could you filibuster that? Or can you use reconciliation?
The rules change with every Congress. Yeah. And so it's hard to keep up with them.
Paul Ryan said if Democrats try to scuttle the deal on tax breaks, the first thing Republicans will do when they take over the House next year is pass the package. And this is what I think Bill Clinton was speaking to, the political realities, that he said we already have this deal with the president. So, do you know what I mean? It's just only thing that's going to happen is it's going to be a lot of pain for a lot of people, including those that really, really desperately need unemployment. It's just going to, you know, and I think that's what the president was saying. If we go weeks and months on this, how is it going to get better? When you have total control of the House by Republicans. And Bill Clinton again on it.
Well, look, if we had 5% growth and unemployment was dropping like a rock, maybe you could have the so-called Mexican standoff.
Kathy in Detroit on the tax deal. Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi. I have to put my 2 cents worth in on this tax cut bill.
Yep.
I believe that it should be passed, but without the tax cuts to those couples who earn over $250,000 and the reduced estate tax part of it. And my suggestion is that they...
Yes, well, those are the only things that will make Republicans do it, unfortunately. I agree with you. I look at this, you know, the CBO scored this, Chris. I mean, it's $900 billion to the deficit. How do people that just ran on reducing the deficit get away with that? 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warren, who can attest to the deliciousness of my homemade shake and bake chicken. See?
Fantastic.
Thank you.
I'm not saying that it wasn't delicious. I'm sure it was. I'm just saying that it's not really that out of the ordinary.
So it is for me mothers, to do anything domestic.
Mothers across the country make this for children every night.
So? I'm a childless loser.
And hardly anyone ever gets cholera from it.
That's his entire show prep these days. Is he scribbles on the way to work just anything I mispronounced in the first hour, so that he can.
And use panko. Don't use Progresso breadcrumbs. Panko's
listen,
so
don't
much better.
Screw up my recipe. All right, you know what? It's Frisch. That's all it's important
what?
Now.
But it's Monday.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. For Media Matters for America.
That chicken's Frisch
we
anymore.
Replaced our Folgers Eric Bollert crystals with Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Can you hang on one second? I'm making some hamburger helper right now.
I feel that I'm being
right
mocked.
From the box.
Carl Frisch was on the very first episode of Top Chef DC when it was in DC.
Really?
Yes,
Carl
he was.
Frisch, aren't you fancy?
Yes, I was wearing fancy clothes and eating fancy foods. It was very fun.
I was reading your. It was really shocking breaking news that a Fox News appears. They sort of seem to try and aid Republicans more so than Democrats. We saw that memo from Bill Salmon, the Fox VP, that you're not allowed to say public option if you're on Fox News.
No, and he's been swimming upstream ever since, trying to spin his way out of it.
Yes, see, because he's Salmon.
Yes, it's yaha. Because we.
I only pun on Mondays. And that's just to torture Bollard into coming back for you next week. Craziness. I mean, we've even launched, Media Matters has even launched an email address that Fox News employees can leak to us now, whistleblowers at mediamatters.org.
So, wow, very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We obtained these emails from a Fox News source where Bill Salmon said that we were not, you know, his employees at Fox News. And this was to the news outlets, the news shows, by the way, the anchors, the reporters. This was not like to Hannity and O'Reilly.
Right.
This was to, you know, Brett Baier.
The supposed Kelly, non-opinion exactly. shows.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
The news pages of his newspaper.
That Bill O'Reilly has so helpfully explained to us. That's different. That's a different part of Fox News. That's not the opinion stuff.
All right. If you buy that explanation, then this is even more damning because it was to the news folks. And he basically said, you know, don't call it the public option. If you must use the word public option, call it the so-called public option. But, you know, call it government run, the government option, et cetera, et cetera. And this came, you know, right after Frank Luntz was on Hannity's show saying, you know, if you call it the public option, we'll lose on this. You have to call it the government option or government run. And then overnight, you went from hearing the nomenclature of public option disappear from Fox News, and it became government option.
Yep.
It just, you know, an about face.
And if you don't think this has a Fox News has a direct effect on, you know, elections in this country, Carl, it was like Bill Maher had Bill O'Reilly on a few weeks ago, and he's like, gee, and you go down this polling, you know, this percentage thinks there's death panels, this percentage thing. Why do you think that is, Bill? where do you think they might be getting that from?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, this is not the first time we've seen this. I mean, remember in 2004, Media Matters got their hands on internal memos from Fox News once before, 33 of them. And in there you had things about abortion and, you know, not calling suicide bombers, but instead calling them homicide bombers, how to talk about the glorious victories of the Bush administration. So this is not the first time this has happened. This is not the second time this has happened, for sure.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, it's happened, and it's a matter of whether or not these mainstream outlets like CNN and MSNBC and The Post and The New York Times will continue to treat Fox News like a reliable news outlet like they do whenever Fox comes under attack, circling the wagons.
Yep, absolutely. Let's dive in and get some more, shall we? Mm-mm. Laura Ingraham in for O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Why did I think that really nothing the president does would be the right thing to do?
Now, I'm watching this as a political analyst. I'm not looking at it as a conservative. When I first saw Bill Clinton up at that podium today, it reminded me of the kid who's kind of getting picked on in school. Instead of learning how to, like, you know, hit back and stand up,
bring his
he
mom
goes home,
in.
Okay, Mom or Dad, can you help me? Johnny's picking on me. In fact, Johnny's now a member of the Democratic leadership and Republican conservatives who are upset with him.
It's always about manliness, isn't it?
You know, she's just upset. I don't know if you heard the news about the former senior producer for her radio show.
What happened? Oh,
this is probably the funniest thing that happened in weeks. But I wrote about it last week, and the headline was, former Fox News booker / Ingraham senior producer, who is being charged with impersonating a congressman, had other phony identities as well.
Wow.
So I guess a couple of weeks ago he was arrested outside of a bar. He had actually called the police saying that he was assaulted, although it looks like he wasn't touched and he was just being yelled at or something. But they arrested him for having a congressional pin, Jack Kingston's pin. He identified himself as a member of Congress.
Oh, no.
Well, it gets worse. The same guy, he's a 26-year-old, his name is Nelson Lewis. He has also been going around town telling people that he is a columnist for the Rolling Stone magazine. He's not.
Wow.
And this is my favorite title of all. This is like so catch me if you can, it's not even funny. Minister plenipotentiary of the artistic endeavors at the Embassy of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Really?
Huh. Wow.
Put that on a business card.
Did he get Laura any good bookings from all of this?
Well, I don't know. Apparently, the minute this news broke, you know, she put out a statement saying he only worked here for 15 weeks and then we fired him.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yes,
yeah.
Of course.
But
he
did work at Fox News as a booker for quite some time, and he appeared on Greta Van Susteren's live show to talk about entertainment news. So,
boy, if only Larry Craig had had one of those cards, he might have gotten away with it.
What do you think of that? Chris, you need to assume some other identities if you want to get some better bookings
for
this
show. I guess so. Carl Fish isn't good enough for you?
All right, Carl Fish.
Andrew from the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Andrew Napolitano on the Fox and Friends.
The big picture is the government has no moral right to take from us that on which we have already paid taxes.
Yeah.
We should decide where our estates go, to our children, to our loved ones, not to bureaucrats in Washington. Repeal the 16th Amendment. Get rid of the IRS.
Mm.
Wow. Uh-huh.
How long after that did he start talking about Tower 7 at Ground Zero?
Kill the poor!
And by the way, while you're out killing the poor, the 9/11 happened because the government did it. I have trouble listening to any 9/11 truther beyond the first three words that come out of their mouth.
Well, you wouldn't want to talk with me then.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
Jim Ward is our resident truther here.
Well, tell Andrew next time you see him at one of your club meetings that I said hello.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell that to the 1,300 architects and engineers who say that. Controlled demolition.
Boys.
All right, Carl. Thanks. All right, let's move on to Glenn Beck on the radio.
When the Muslim extremists decide to... Well, when they decide the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and all of the Muslim extremists that have been calling for the downfall of the British Empire forever, when they decide to get out into the streets and join the revolutionaries and the communists and the anarchists, how exactly do you stop that?
Wow.
How do you start that?
That's lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Those are people who really shouldn't be sleeping together.
Muslims and communists and anarchists, oh my.
Well, he just likes putting all the ist words together. Islamist, communist, Marxist, fascist, McCarthyist, pianist.
And how can you get the anarchist to do anything?
Podiatrist.
What are you kidding?
Well, you know, you can't even tell who's an anarchist anymore because of all those bandanas that they wear.
Right.
You're telling us to beware at what time? We're anarchists. We're not going to...
Yeah, we don't organize.
We don't follow rules. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the tax deal.
I now hope this deal fails.
Oh, good.
I say it directly and officially. If the deal fails, the Democrats are in control, so it is they who will be raising taxes. Let the tax rates go up on January 1st. Let them go up. Wait for our cavalry to show up and deal with this the right way.
That's exactly, I hate to say it, that's the best argument for getting this deal done. That's exactly what I've been saying, Carl.
Well, we will
take the political bullet if this deal goes down. And that's exactly how they'll spin it. Look, Republicans came in and saved the day and made sure that your taxes, you know, blah, 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 right?
Well, I just hate to hear Rush Limbaugh say that, you know, we have to, it matters that he's officially come out against something. I'm torn on the issue. I tend to be fairly pragmatic, but I think it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation for the Democrats.
Well, but that's exactly...
Either we get the blame now, or we get the blame later.
Well, that's exactly it, Carl. It's you know, the president's saying that it's a game of political chicken that, you know, you're hoping that the hostage doesn't get harmed. I mean, it is interesting when you hear Ed Schultz and Rush Limbaugh make the same point. Let him expire. Let's play. You know, and it's like then you're gambling with people's lives on who's going to win this and who's going to win the politics of it.
I suppose the part I have the biggest problem with is that for the better part of 3.5 years, virtually everybody in the party said, here's what we're going to do if we take power. And then they'd say, how are you going to pay for it? Well, we just won't extend the Bush tax cuts. And that will pay for everything. And it would have paid for everything.
Yep.
So how do you get beyond that step? If your rationale for all these things you want to do to help the economy down the road is that we'll pay for it by not extending the Bush tax cuts, and then you extend the Bush tax cuts, what does that
mean? 2 years from now, then we'll show them.
Right.
Just in time for 2012.
I dare to cross this line, see?
All right. Okay, how about this line?
17 minutes after the hour, right back with a skosh more right-wing world with Carl Frisch as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets a while. She's crafty.
I think Jimmy Page would sue.
23 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America in the sidecar to finish up our right-wing world. O'Reilly on the estate tax.
Look, this is a seizure of private property. Where in the Constitution does it say the government can seize private property? That's what it is. Because as you rightly pointed out, it's already been taxed.
Right.
This is a double tax.
And his... Wow.
The person is dead. They can't be taxed again. These are the... The heirs that are being taxed for this. They're not being
double
taxed.
For the free income.
Right, exactly.
Inherited.
I mean, by that argument, nothing could be taxed. I mean, I get taxed every month on my income. The food I buy is taxed all over the place.
Yeah.
You know? What it comes down to is just fear-mongering. I mean, what they don't tell you on Fox is the very low percentage of people that are actually affected by this tax. They talk about it like it's a farmer thing. It has nothing to do with family farmers. There's virtually no family farmers left in this country.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I knew that one call we took a couple of weeks ago was a right-wing plant.
Yeah.
Remember that woman?
Uh-huh.
My father worked
hard.
Never took a vacation so I could get his farm, and now, look, he's... I mean,
then you had really bad financial planners in your family.
Or
sorry.
None.
Yeah.
No financial advice.
I don't know why. Those are always the freepers. Hello, Stephanie. I am a small business owner. I am neither Republican nor Democrat. I like to listen to both sides.
And I just stumbled across your show.
Exactly.
And if it weren't for this outrageous taxation, I would be hiring lots of people.
Oh, we get calls like that all the time, Carl.
All
you
right.
have no idea.
I get those calls, too. I'm like, Mom, I'll see you at Christmas.
All right. Hannity on the president.
I think we have two very fundamental different views of which direction the country ought to go. And I think Obama has failed as president. What? But this language, this incendiary rhetoric, does that come back to hurt them?
What's he talking about?
I don't know how you could take Sean Hannity seriously. Well, that's a stupid question. I don't know how anyone can take him seriously when he says, well, you know, this president has failed. Fine, okay. I can buy that a Republican might think he's failed in you know, entering year three. But Sean Hannity was saying this president failed on day one.
Right.
Come on now, Sean. Update the talking points, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir.
Have a great week.
All right, you too,
honey.
There he goes, the Carl.
The Carl?
The Carl. William in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, William.
Yes, how are you, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
I want to say, at first I didn't like your show a couple years ago, but now I adore you. And I'm old enough to remember when your father ran with Goldwater.
Yikes, you're old. Okay.
Well, anyway, a couple of things I want to say. First of all, it was Voltaire, the 18th century French philosopher, who said, I defend it to the death, your right to say it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Voltaire.
Exactly. You know, that's what I said. Well, that's the French name for Patrick Henry.
Oh, I didn't know that. But anyway, we got a former alderman here. She has a 2-hour talk show on Saturday. She said it was Churchill said, "The only thing we had to fear itself." So you know, we got to be careful with our quotes.
Yep.
But what I wanted to say is this about the tax cuts. I strongly don't want the rich to get their tax cuts, but at the same time, as Obama said, we got to look at the long picture. And he's focused on something. He's trying to get there. And that's what we need to do instead of jumping over hill. Because I can't even watch Keith Olbermann now. I adore his show, but I can't watch him and Rachel and even Tom Hartman. I don't want to listen to them right now, even their shows. So they're going off the deep end. But, you know, we have to wait to see how
it plays out. Here's the thing. We can all disagree.
No, we can't. Shut up.
We can all disagree on certain issues and still, we still are on the same team, and that's all I'd like to say. Hey, Jim, here's a vomitous guess the quote.
Uh-oh.
Who said, there's one big difference between me and the others. I won't take every last dime of the surplus and spend it on tax cuts that mostly benefit the wealthy. Who said that?
George Lincoln Rockwell.
No, that asshat John McCain back in 2000.
Close.
And yesterday he was on Fox chuckling over mocking Obama for backtracking on the Bush tax cuts, you see, for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little hypocritical.
A little?
He's a professional flip-flopper.
Yeah.
Who said, I am disappointed that the Senate Finance Committee preferred instead to cut the top tax rate of 39.6% to 36%, thereby granting generous tax relief to the wealthiest individuals of our country at the expense of lower and middle-income American taxpayers. Who said that?
Hermann Göring.
No, Senator John McCain in May of 2001.
Hmm.
Who said, I voted against the tax cuts because of the disproportional amount that went to the wealthiest Americans. I would clearly support not extending those tax cuts in order to help address the deficit.
Rocky J. Suhaida.
No!
He's the current chairman of the American Nazi Party. I looked it up.
Oh, thank you. No, that was John McCain on Meet the Press in 2004.
Is his name really Rocky J? Yeah. Isn't Rocky J. Squirrel?
Yes, Rocky J.
Wow.
Squirrel.
Wow, okay.
Let's be pulling the rabbit out of my hat. That trick never works. And you look kind of Jewish to me.
Todd in Tucson. Hi, Todd.
Oh, hi, yeah. I think the obvious question is, why is it that in 2000 or 2001, when these tax cuts were put in, why weren't they made permanent? And isn't
because they could, they didn't have the votes. They had to pass it through reconciliation in the first place.
But isn't that an implicit admission that it does increase the deficit?
Well, I mean, that's what I just don't even. Who can make any sense of anything Michelle Bachmann says anyway?
Yeah.
But I was watching her on CNN. She said, I don't think letting people keep their own money should be considered a deficit. It's like they think like math now is sort of like one of those, you know, BS kind of things where there's opinion involved. It's like what? It shouldn't be considered a deficit? Well, it is a deficit.
Yeah.
My right-wing brother wrote that in his latest screed, something about, tax cuts never actually cause deficits.
No, of course not.
It's like, yes, they do.
It's been proven they do.
History.
Yes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I dressed up like Santa Claus and left a present in her chimney.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
Oh.
It is Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, we are, oh, my goodness, half hour away from Mondays with McClure.
Yay.
The delightful Edie McClure joins us live in studio. Yeah, my head is going to explode if I watch one more Republican on television explaining why these tax cuts for the rich don't increase the deficit. That crazy Michelle Bachmann explained that she is against the tax deal because it not only extends unemployment benefits, which she has characterized as massive new spending, but because in her mind it increases taxes. When a perplexed John King asked her what she was talking about... That's the main question asked of Michelle Bachmann.
What the hell are you talking about?
You crazy. Bachmann replied that the estate tax cut Obama and the Republicans included is actually a tax increase because of Bush-era... Yes, because a Bush-era budget gimmick set the estate tax at zero this year. Remember that? Hmm. So under current law, the estate tax will go to 55% next year with a $1 million exemption. But under the tax deal, it will be set at 35% with a $5 million exemption. This cut costs about $25 billion, and the benefits only those 0.25% of households in the country. During the interview, Bachmann insisted at least five times this constitutes a tax increase. So I guess she would just like to be at zero, just like it is for, you know, ExxonMobil and GE. She would just like a zero tax.
But she also doesn't understand what deficit means. She was talking about not the government deficits don't matter. It's personal deficits.
Yes.
Rich people having to pay taxes.
Yes, we shouldn't consider that deficit a deficit.
No, it's not a deficit. No. That's a whole different.
But it
what?
Is.
Mm.
What is it?
All told, the tax deal costs about $950 billion over the next 2 years, $480 billion of which goes to maintain the Bush tax cuts. But Republicans have magicked themselves into a fantasy land where the things they like in the bill are free, but the things Obama wants cost money. Hmm. That's a wonker.
Right.
Yes,
exactly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. David, looks like she's just been hit in the head by a foul ball. Maybe that's the case.
And is still really surprised about it.
Yeah.
Isn't she the one that her husband picks out her pantsuits for her?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. He is in the that gay outreach, so that you can de-gay people.
And I bought her a lovely pantsuit.
Okay.
And she likes to hang out naked with right wing reporters,
radio hosts.
Yeah. Which
Speaking of teabagging, teabagger Jim DeMint. Yes. Also against the tax deal. He said he's against the deal because it includes a provision to extend unemployment for 13 months. We can't just keep paying people to stay home.
Right, those lazy bastards.
Mm-hmm. Then he expounded on those concerns on Fox. He said this is a perfect example of how we got $14 trillion in debt.
Right. That's how we did it. Unemployment insurance.
Yes. Republicans have something we know is good for the country, such as extending these tax rates. Which is why,
that's where the deficits came from.
He solidified his inconsistency later in the interview. He said the measure should not increase the deficit, but in his very next breath, he added that the deal should make the tax cuts permanent, which is what's increasing the deficit.
Exactly. And you pay into unemployment insurance. You sort of prepaid yourself
through your employer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
We've gone over that a couple times. Yeah.
God.
Okay. David Axelrod.
Every economist from right to left has said this would mean a big boost for our economy. And so I believe that ultimately people will come together around this plan.
President in the Saturday address argued the fate of the middle class families and the still fragile economic recovery is at stake as lawmakers consider the proposal. He said the opportunities for families to send their kids to college hinges on this debate, and our recovery will be strengthened or weakened based on the choice that now rests with Congress. He said middle class taxes would rise by an average of $3,000 if a deal was not struck, an unacceptable position. Going to the mat with the GOP on high-end tax cuts, he said, was not worth the potential cost to families struggling to get by in tough times. He said, that's why I brought both Democrats and Republicans to the table to put together a compromise to work through our differences so we can get this done. Bernie Sanders, as you know, 8 hours? Did he go 8 hours?
Yeah.
Come on.
8.5 hours.
That's how you do a filibuster.
Although it wasn't technically a filibuster. It was a filibuster-like event.
It was a long, long speech.
That's right.
I'm impressed, because when I think of a speech, I'm like, how long does it have to be? How long can I possibly write on a Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin?
Can we pad that with a Q&A?
Senator Sanders.
The agreement that they reached is a bad deal. I do not want to see my kids and grandchildren pay more in taxes because we borrowed money from China to increase the national debt.
You still want 51 Bernie Sanders in the Senate?
Yeah. Jeffrey, can I? And the uniform that farts glitter.
He was fighting for what, fighting against
and
what
like
you're for.
And like I said, that Patrick Henry told Voltaire to say, I may disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
All right.
Jeffrey in Chicago. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
You know, I wanted to talk about what nobody seems to be talking about, the reason why we're talking about this debate in terms of we can't get a better deal, we're not going to do better next year, is because the president's been unwilling to threaten to use a veto. And what he effectively what he could do is, you know,
Jeffrey, honestly, do you think he'd win the politics of that?
Well, let me finish. So what I think he could do is he could, you know, craft a better deal, you know, that doesn't include the upper income, the extension of the upper income tax breaks, and say, you know, you have till Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve to pass it, and I'll sign it. And if you let it pass to the next Congress, I am not going to pass, I'm not going to sign anything that doesn't include a retroactive extension of the middle class tax cuts only, with the exception of maybe, you know, the raising the debt ceiling or funding the government. And I think he could win that.
You know, the problem, Jeffrey, is unfortunately, the unemployment benefits did get mixed in with that. And I think he simply wasn't willing at the end of the day. And you're right, you know, maybe, you and I are guessing, maybe he would win that. But I'm just saying you're also dealing with people that don't have a basic sense of decency, in my opinion. They will vote down health care for 9/11 responders. They will vote down extending unemployment benefits right before Christmas. They don't care. They've already gone on record. Look at what I just read from Jim DeMint. Oh, we can't keep paying people to stay home. We can't keep paying them to do nothing. I mean, they have a fundamentally different view of, to me, just basic human compassion than we do, I think. All right. Representative Raul Grijalva.
He's a great progressive.
Exactly.
From Arizona.
I just like it when Tom Brokaw says it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Raul Grijalva.
It's not a question of angering or disappointing that there was no consultation. I think the House was taken for granted.
That could be a lot of House members' feelings, I think, hurt over this. But again, I keep making the point that it's just we had a sea change in the midterm elections, and there were all those great House bills that I loved, but that didn't go anywhere. I mean, and what is that going to do for us? I mean, the problem has always been the Senate, and getting anything through both of them has been a nightmare. Representative Chris Van Hollen acknowledged Sunday House Democrats won't hold up a deal to resolve the expiring Bush-era tax cuts. Chris,
we're not going to hold this thing up at the end of the day. Most of us agree with almost all of what the president negotiated. There is one thing that just was the choking point, and that deals with the estate tax break.
So he said there will be opportunity for the House to work its will, so that remains to be seen what happens with the estate tax. But, you know, again, people on the right then are saying if you tinker with this, then you got to give more concessions to the Republicans. And to me, I think everybody thinks it's pretty much bad enough what we've given the Republicans in this.
I think it's going to pass through unchanged.
Unchanged? Completely unchanged? Anthony Weiner.
We're doing our job in Congress. We're going to change this, and we're going to hopefully the president is going to back us up as we try to take out the worst things that are in it.
So you and Anthony Weiner disagree. Here's the thing.
Yes.
The one thing on the politics of this, again, that just is so infuriating is that they ran and apparently won on this whole deficit smaller government thing. And it would seem like, and again, I'm not willing to gamble with people's, you know, people that don't have a paycheck, but it does seem like, look, the CBO store that just came out, it ups the deficit $900 billion in 5 years. Like, the president couldn't have made a case on that, you know, we just cannot afford this, period. You ran on, it's the stuff that infuriates us, but I don't understand how they get away with it. It's not just fuzzy math, it's just completely wrong what they're trying to say. What did I say? Michelle Bachmann said that, oh, I don't think we should really see that as a deficit.
Right.
It's like, what?
Right.
It's a deficit or it's not.
Way.
Yeah, we just shouldn't look at it. Don't be so judgmental.
Let's call it something else.
Yes. Don't be so judgmental and harsh. You're so black and white. It's just a number. The CBO released its score Friday on the tax plan, showing $893 billion hit on the deficit over the next 5 years. Of course, the bulk of the deficit increase comes from the loss of revenue, $756 billion, blah, blah, blah. Bill Clinton, by the way, said there is never a perfect bipartisan bill in the eyes of a partisan. I believe this will be a significant net plus for our country. You know, again, he took a lot of the same heat when he did stuff like this, but
Paul Krugman doesn't agree, you might expect.
Well, yeah, but I've read Krugman, but he also, you know, thinks there's some good things in it, mm-hmm. and he thinks there's certainly merits in it. I just don't know why we couldn't win this deficit fight, since this was just the whole thing that they talked about during the midterms. That's what I don't get.
We lost the PR fight.
Yeah, apparently.
As usual.
The president was on NPR, and he said, one of the listeners said, please ask him how keeping the tax rate for the richest, the same as it has been for a decade, creates one single job. Obama said, it doesn't, which is why I was opposed to it, and I'm still opposed to it. He said, the problem is that this is the single issue the Republicans are willing to scotch the entire deal for. And in that circumstance, we've got basically a very simple choice. Either allow 2 million people who are currently getting unemployment insurance not to get it, either I allow the recovery that we're on to be endangered, or we make a compromise now. The economy, so anyway, but I mean, that's the other thing that you can't let them get away with saying. The economy did not add a single new job in the first 3 years after the Bush tax cuts were enacted. Despite 9 years of Bush tax cuts, there has been zero net job creation over the past. I mean, that's the other thing. How do they keep the quote-unquote liberal mainstream media? Why do they let them keep getting away with that? You can't tax them because they won't create jobs. It's like, what has? Did one of them even offer an answer to that? Why there hasn't been a job created since all these tax cuts are in place? It just
they say yes, they have millions of jobs. Gajillions.
Once again,
where?
It's not a, you get their numbers. They're not. They're, you can't have an opinion on
no, they're
them.
Not. Yes, you can.
46 minutes after the
no,
hour.
No, it isn't. Mm.
It's a skit.
See how it works?
It's skit, and it's just as annoying if it's the real thing. 46 no, minutes after the hour, right?
Oh, God, stop it. Y'all.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're doing the best we can, but we will really bring it back when Edie McClurg gets here.
Yes,
in just a few moments.
She always brings the sexy.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mark in Minneapolis. Hey, Mark, welcome.
Hi. In case anybody's paying attention, for the month of November, the Treasury reported that we spent $192 billion more than we took in. And, you know, so this is just absolutely farcical what's happening. And as far as anybody listening to President Bill Clinton, let me remind you of NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, the WTO, repeal of Glass-Steagall. Let's see, what else is... Oh, the Telecommunications Act.
Yeah, listen, I disagree with him on all of those. However, I would take the peace and prosperity we had during the Clinton years as opposed to what we got during the Bush years, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd like to paint this analogy for you. For right now, and again, I campaigned and I supported for him, and I'm voting for Russ Feingold. Now, I'm calling him President Bush. Because, you know, this is what I see, and that's actually what John Conyers basically paraphrased when he was drawing comparisons between, and this is John Conyers, Judiciary Committee, drawing a comparison between the presidency of George Bush and President Obama. But President Obama made all of these promises. Now,
Wait, go back. How is he saying you're saying John Conyers is saying he's just like Bush? I kind of doubt John Conyers believes that in its entirety.
Well, he's drawing the comparisons. I'm looking at the quote of the imperial presidency. Conyers said that he has broken his promises to shut down Guantanamo and military operations abroad, expand the power of the executive branch.
He needs to get some weak-kneed Democrats to stand with him on Guantanamo, doesn't he?
Well, you know, I'd like to draw this analogy. You know, when you get married, you promise that, you know, you're going to stay faithful. Now, if you cheat on your spouse, you say, I did my best. Does that get you off the hook?
No. Well, clearly sometimes it does in some marriages. Yes, but go ahead.
I called Senator Klobuchar and I called Senator Franken, and I called Congressman Elisted. And I just said, listen, I expect you to do what Paul Wellstone would have done, and that's to stand up and fight. I'm beyond a 99er, by the way. My unemployment has, and I'm willing to fight like the majority. The amount of calls that my congressional representatives have taken in, they've said have been off the charts, and they're basically 90% in favor of standing our ground, no tax cuts for the rich. Listen to what I just said.
Yep.
$192 billion.
Listen, I applaud your principle. If you're, you know, one of the people that's not going to get your unemployment, I applaud your principle. But I don't know. Like I say, maybe any of us would make a different decision if we were the ones sitting behind, the Oval Office desk. I don't know. The important news is that Boner cried again, Jim.
What? Yeah, I heard that.
I think it might be low T.
When Barbara Walters asked him if he was gay.
Leslie Stahl.
Oh, no, that was Oprah. I'm sorry.
Leslie Stahl.
This is... was he on 60 Minutes?
Yes, last night.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream.
Dream Act?
It's important.
Oh, my God.
That's all right.
Well,
listen,
are you trying not to?
No, what you see is what you get. I know who I am. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And everybody who knows me knows that I get emotional about certain things.
Like, was he talking about the Dream Act there? Was he talking about giving these kids a chance? No.
He was talking about them having to pay taxes
and having to work.
Was he talking about trust fund babies?
Work in a tavern for a paycheck with no dividend income at all. No health care.
Is he crying for
criminals? They have to pay taxes on the money they do make.
Was he crying about rich kids, or which kids was he crying about exactly?
Or kids who would be rich kids if only they didn't have to pay these outrageous taxes.
Rich kids.
Was he crying for the kids that are going to have to pay for this after we add this to the deficit
even
and that we're borrowing the money from China?
Mm. Kids who climb on rocks?
No, only rich kids.
Mm.
Be a very short song, John Boner, because only the rich kids. He doesn't care about any of those other bastards.
A really short Oscar Mayer jingle.
Not skinny kids, not kids that climb on rocks.
Yeah.
Not kids with chicken pops, for sure.
Or cholera.
Yeah. Did you just say sick kids?
Did you just say chicken pops? I think you did.
Chicken pops. With thyme.
With thyme and panko.
And breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm. The Boner says playing 18 holes with someone is a good way to get to know that person.
See? Low T. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes,
he's so emotional.
Exactly. He wants to play golf with the president and also have more passion for the one he loves. And
dance to disco music.
And dance to disco music.
What if every other week Nancy Pelosi had cried like this?
I know it.
What would...
Yeah.
Or spent that much time on the golf course.
Yeah.
Boner says the two have talked a number of times about playing, he and the president, but it just doesn't happen yet. He's waiting by the phone.
Now watch this drive.
Boner says on the golf course, you can't be somebody you're not because all of you shows up. Oh, dear God, he'd be sobbing every time he missed a putt. He'd be like,
I shanked it.
My father was right. I suck.
I'm over par.
Somebody stepped on my tail. Somebody stepped on my tail.
Bill in Minneapolis.
Goodness, what a fuss you're making.
That's what Leslie Stahl said.
Yes.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you? Your producer told me you've answered this question before, but I'd sure like to know again. Why can't this tax business be passed using reconciliation?
Because we've already used reconciliation, as I understand it, and it can only be used once a session.
It can only be used once a session?
Yes.
Oh, dear. What a shame.
Oh, dear. What a fuss you're making over that. Can I hear that again, by the way? What the hell was he crying about? Do we know?
My kids.
For what kids?
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream. Like I did.
Did he just, like, blow his nose on one of his awful ties?
Just blew snot,
snot bubble all over Leslie Stahl.
An orange snot bubble.
That is pretty sad when you think he could be talking about the kids that would be helped by the Dream Act, but you know he's not.
Right.
No, not those kids. They're brown. 58
Well,
minutes.
He's orange.
Not other people of color. My color. I want to help people that are my color. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Won't you? You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller's Monday.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday, Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore
Edie McClurg.
It's that delightful potty mouth of Edie McClurg. Good morning, Edie McClurg.
I'm a party mouth. Potty mouth.
Now, we missed you last week due to the fact you're having some critter trouble.
Oh, a skunk went under my house.
Oh, boy.
And had a fight with someone, which broke me out of a deep sleep.
Yes.
Because it was right under my bedroom.
That's one of the rules of the Stephanie Miller Show. Nothing good ever comes in of the crawl space under your house.
Oh, my God. And the stench is a week later is still there. So now I'm about to go out to the unfortunately named Do It Center. And,
you have to do it there?
Yes, because I can't go to Home Depot or Osh because they're too big.
They're frightening.
They're very
Yeah, Home Depot is too, it's frightening to me. It's too large. I'm an Osh girl myself.
Are you an Osh? That's even too big.
Still too big for you?
Yeah.
I'm more of a Home Despot guy. And that and Pole Pottery Barn.
It's too big. It's impossible to find the orange people, you know.
Yes. And then there's never a person with the vest.
I don't refer to John Boner. I'm talking about the people in the orange.
The orange
frocks.
Vests. Yes.
Yes.
So, you know, I have to, I do it to, unwillingly.
And you said something about the skunk was near your costume area?
Yes.
Well, you have a costume area?
Well, I have a moderate closet and a large closet.
Oh, well, like most women. I thought you meant like, oh, the Ferris Bueller outfit's in here and the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles outfit's here.
Okay, I do have costumes.
You have a costume closet?
Yes, things that I wouldn't wear out in public,
right.
But I would wear on stage or for a party.
A party.
Costume party. Once we did, someone had a party for that wonderful film with
Oh,
gosh.
Oh, okay.
You know,
the thing with the guy.
And they're in a Casablanca. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. All
so
right.
That was the theme. They had a wonderful theme, and I knew everybody would be, you know, as Ingrid and or
Bogey.
Bogey.
Sure.
So I came.
No Claude Rains?
And some Claude Rains.
Oh, okay.
And Dooley.
And Peter Loring.
Okay, Dooley, the piano player. And I came as the plane to Lisbon.
Ah. Oh, good job. No one would think of that.
And I had to go to another party first, and then I arrived just as they had cleared the dance floor have the, you know, the announcement.
Cool.
And I came in across the dance floor as the plane from
brilliant.
Lisbon.
And did someone say, you got to get on that plane?
And the hostess said, it's the plane.
You don't
to
get
Lisbon.
On that plane. You'll regret it. Maybe not today. Maybe
she
not
didn't
tomorrow.
Know I was coming
sure,
as that. And
the
then
rest
she
of your life.
She looked at my whole outfit and said, oh, it's the plane. To
See,
Lisbon.
That is a pickup line, Jim. I am a plane. If you don't get on me, you're going to be sorry. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow.
Oh. They shot that scene at Van Nuys Airport.
Now you're far too clever.
All right. It's the holiday season. I've got some Christmas stack for you. You know, you've been in a number of productions, Edie McClurg, both stage, screen, for God's sakes. This, I don't know if you've had a mishap of this proportion, but a camel has fallen on an audience at a Christmas show. No one was hurt.
Is the camel okay?
That,
yes, the camel's fine.
As I first
I
saw that.
I hate when that happens, though.
I first saw that word, mishap. I called it mishap.
This is a mishap.
A mishap.
Everything
and
with
that
Aubrey.
Was a mashup.
A camel a and its rider are unhurt after toppling onto audience members during a rehearsal. Oh, it was only a rehearsal.
Oh.
For a costume Christmas pageant at a South Florida church. The camel named Lulu Bell walked down the aisle and was supposed to stop and kneel. You know, it's hard to choreograph a camel. They're a little, you know, they're not, they're like
Bristol
Palin. And
they need like rubber things on their hooves in order not to slide.
They're the Bristol Palin of the animal world, not the dancers. They really are
not. Oh, man, was she
instead,
unfortunate.
The animal balked and then stumbled sideways. It fell onto several pews and the rider was also tossed into the audience. No one was injured during the rehearsal. The pastor organizing the pageant says the camel will not be in any of the shows.
Good thing they weren't recreating Hannibal crossing the Alps with all those elephants. Might have ended badly.
The camel will not be playing in any of their reindeer games. Yeah, that's a fool.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
I wonder if it's a pay or play.
So at least no matter
thing.
If even if you're out of work in this economy, you're going to lose your house. At least a camel didn't fall on you during the Christmas.
So far.
Not yet.
Can you imagine be sitting? You just be
not
like,
today.
Oh, are you kidding me? A camel's about to fall on me. Oh, how about this one? German police say an old hippie is facing possible prosecution for his version of the highest Christmas tree, a festively decorated 2-yard-tall marijuana plant.
What? Cool.
Is it illegal?
Look at
there?
What he can do. He can make a marijuana plant
I
out of
I think it is.
Into
a Look at what he can do.
Oh, dude. Oh.
I don't think there's an equivalent of that in German.
You may want to book a You may want to book a Christmas trip to Vegas because the stripper mobile is back.
Yes.
It's made another run in Las Vegas. This time, though, unfortunately for you, properly dressed Santa's helpers riding for a good cause.
Okay.
A year after agreeing to stop a promotion that involved hauling bikini-clad exotic dancers in a truck with clear plastic sides. And you thought our jobs lacked dignity. A company that owns several Vegas strip clubs used the vehicle to help deliver Christmas donations to a local charity.
I bet the DNC chairman's all over that.
But all right, for Christmas, I'm bringing in the Glettenhofer Yodlers and the Meisenbichler Singers.
Ah.
Yeah.
Really?
These are just names that were left over from my classical music radio announcing days. They won't go away. There are certain names that are hard, and you learn them so well.
You wake up in the middle of the night saying, Bach, Werke, Verzeichnis.
It's 40 years later, Jim. What's the matter with me?
Oh, boy. All right.
You're young at heart.
We were just, I don't know if you heard it, Edie, we were just playing John Boner blubbering on 60 Minutes. And you'd think he was talking about the kids in the Dream Act, not, you know,
making sure kids
a chance.
That these kids have a shot at the American dream. Like I did.
Ew.
And then he blew a big snot bubble on Leslie Stahl.
Big orange snot bubble.
No.
Yes, with Tanner. Glazed over with Tanner.
Oh, my God. He sounds unstable mentally.
Yes. Yes. He's our new orange overlord. Enjoy. But, he must have been talking about trust fund babies or somebody that
whatever.
That's not,
and he's
brown.
He's going to be third in line for the president. For presidency.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bomb everyone. I'm having a really bad day.
I'm scared.
You would think most reasonable people believe in some sort of path to citizenship these are kids that came here, when they were kids. They didn't, they are not of their own free will even, and now they want to serve in the United States military. That's what the Dream Act is. A lot of fear-mongering. Glenn Beck told a caller on his radio show the bill would disenfranchise white people.
Huh?
Saying if you're white and you're an American citizen or a white American citizen, you're pretty much toast.
What?
Yes. Yeah, giving other
people
you're
not chance. Allowed to go in the military? Because the...
I know. It's just the same fear-mongering.
Why didn't he go serve then and take their place? Mm-hmm.
Representative Dana Rohrabacher, right-wing tool of California, warned that voting for the Affirmative Action Act, Amnesty Act, as he calls the Dream Act,
Affirmative Action Amnesty Act?
Yes, will relegate the position of non-minority American citizens to behind those who are now in this country illegally, which is completely
bonus,
and just dividing kind of stuff they do all the time.
Liar, liar, pants on fire!
Oh! Ah. Edie McClurk has loaded her own liar can. Well, fine.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
All right. One of the other Republicans we elected, Edie, John Kasich. How about that guy? He was, the first thing he said, I killed that train. He was really happy that he killed an infrastructure project for Ohio. He is now incensed over police and firefighter unions' ability to call in a neutral arbiter to resolve labor disputes. He said he'd love to eliminate that policy known as binding arbitration and fire any police officer or firefighter who wants to strike.
Good plan.
He said if they want to strike, they should be fired. The questioner said, just to make sure I'm clear, you don't think police and fire emergency services should have the right to strike. I don't favor the right of any public employee to strike.
Okay, then. So you're against the train and cops and firemen.
Indentured servitude?
Why?
That's what you're in favor of, then.
Why did Ohio vote for this clown?
That's a slave, isn't it?
By the by, do you remember how long they were trying to filibuster the seating of our good friend Al Franken, Senator Al Franken?
Yeah.
Go, Senator Al.
Yeah, I remember John Cornyn said he would fight World War III to keep Franken out of the Senate for years, reasoning that allowing Norm Coleman's legal challenges to Franken were more important than providing Minnesota with a senator. Now, however, Joe Miller, who, by the way, the tiny baby wolf candidate, lost again on Friday, and still deciding whether he's going to keep appealing. But now John Cornyn is demanding Alaskans simply deserve full representation, which is completely different than when Minnesota needed a senator. Now he's saying, that they deserve a senator. But if we gotten any word what he's going to do, the little wolf candidate? Because he lost his court challenge on Friday, and they're still he's still considering his options.
No words.
All right. Take care now. Bye bye then.
Maybe he's considering Second Amendment solutions.
Maybe he and Sharon Engel. Exactly.
Yeah, and Sarah Palin.
They're reloading.
Okay. Tony in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie.
I'll shoot you from a helicopter.
Tony, hello. Hi, Tony.
How you doing? I was just calling to say all these magnanimous people calling saying I'll do without my unemployment. Come on. They're lying. Because I said, how are you going to explain to your little kid, well, Santa didn't come this year, honey, because we were in the dark because he couldn't see our house. I mean, you know.
Because we're proving a point.
We're proving a point. And the rich people, okay, are they going to miss the money either way? I mean, I just want to ask people, if you're willing to take away people that need the help for the holidays,
well,
I don't believe those people because they probably have savings or something. You don't talk that boldly when you're really broke. I mean,
well, Tony, I don't know. I do know that the vast majority of letters I got from people saying, no, please don't gamble with my unemployment.
That's
because
right.
I've got nothing and I've got no way to, you know, exactly keep the lights on or feed my kids.
That's what I'm saying. So you're going to hurt those people. The rich people are going to be rich either way.
Yep.
They're not going to miss it. Their life on going on. You're not hurting people. It's drinking hater aid. That's all it is. That's what we call it.
Thank you, Tony.
Drinking hater aid.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah. I bet you that was what Boner was crying about, don't you think? He was probably crying about some trust fund baby that will be affected by this estate tax. Should there be any tinkering in the house?
Someday, one of these kids will be poised to inherit $5 billion and will be taxed on it. This is the American dream down the toilet. I used to work in a tavern.
19 minutes after
it
the hour.
It turned me orange.
Wow. Right back on more Mondays with McClure.
And the Academy Award goes to...
The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, we discover a new obscure fun fact about Evie McClurg every Monday with McClurg. Joe, my God, would like us to ask you about your role as...
Hermit Hattie?
Yes.
Yes. Hermit Hattie on the original Pee Wee Herman show?
Very original. The HBO special that came after doing it at the Groundlings. Almost a year.
That's why you have your costume closet.
And is there a skunk-covered Hermit Hattie costume somewhere in your...
I have a coonskin cap.
Ah.
Yes, yes, I do. And the song that I sang when I came on stage was, oh, golly.
All right, well, you'll get back to us with that information.
All right. Oh, I had it just in my head. Oh, I'll come, that's I'll come all right. out with it.
Anyway. Juanita in Cincinnati, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I got 3 points to make.
Okay.
Senator Russ Feingold is a hypocrite because, one, he voted against the middle-class tax cuts when it first came out on this was on the Saturday 4th.
Yeah, because of it adding to the deficit.
But yeah. How could it add to the, there was no rich tax cuts at that. It was just the middle-class tax cuts.
Right. His point was, you know, anything adding to the deficit right now is not good.
But number two, before the midterms, he came to President Obama and asked him, can he postpone it, you know, to after the midterm elections, about bringing all this up. And number three, that caller was talking about why President Obama, about Gitmo, closing Gitmo. It's like Congress is doing it to President Obama again. They're trying to put something in the Defense Authorization Bill where they keep him from closing Guantanamo. They're refusing to fund it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All this problems because Congress, parts of Congress, is tripping out on him. So I'm getting sick of tired of him.
I wish he would say that, Juanita. That would be a good press conference, wouldn't it, Jim? Congress.
Parts of Congress is tripping out on me. And
Jen,
I find that highly objectionable.
Jenny in Tucson. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Okay. I don't think that we should have any kind of tax cuts at all. Why have a tax cut for the middle class when they don't have any jobs? It seems that we're giving totally money, going more in debt, and we got to face reality. We created the mess that we have. Therefore, we need to clean it up. If people can't realize that and keep on voting Republican, then they deserve.
Well,
they
theoretically, get. Jenny, I agree with you that, you know, people that really care about the deficit should say, yeah, that none of all these tax cuts should expire. But it's just, I think, you know, the president feels with the economy and the recovery as fragile as it is. And I think what he was saying is the average family, it's $3,000. And that's a lot to the average family that you know, their taxes would they be paying per year.
Yeah, but if you don't have the jobs, what good is it any in the first place?
Well, some of us got jobs. You know, there's still a few of us have jobs, you know.
Well, the thing was I'm saying is the fact that $3,000 might be a lot. But I'm seeing here people saying, well, I can't buy food, I can't buy this. But they certainly have television, they certainly have their iPods, they certainly have their cell phones and so forth and so on. People are spoiled, and they need to get into reality. We live in Oz, and we got to stop living in Oz. Because you can't go on forever.
The scary prison drama?
Well, the thing is, we're going to be talking Chinese, and I don't know how to do it very well.
All right. No, she meant not. She meant the other Oz. Pardon me.
The other Oz, right.
We're getting raped by... What?
What?
That was scary.
And
that was,
and
huh? Oh, my God. Okay. Jim, just when you thought there'd be something to cheer us up over the holidays and the Dick Cheney might be getting arrested and... tried in Nigeria?
Not going to happen, huh?
No, of course not. The Nigerian government moved to charge Dick Cheney in a massive bribery case involving $180 million in kickbacks paid to Nigerian lawmakers who awarded a $6 billion natural gas pipeline to contract to Halliburton subsidiary KBR when Cheney was running the company. As part of the charge, the Nigerian government was seeking an arrest warrant through Interpol for the former vice president. That was all I wanted for Christmas. Now Global Post reporting the company's in talks with the Nigerian government to arrive at a settlement. Sources within the Nigerian government say that the possible plea bargain could involve $500 million. That's how much it takes to keep
$500 million.
Keep Dick Cheney out of jail, I guess.
Okay.
I keep it in a safe in my underground lair.
I have trivia.
Yes, you do. Uh-huh. Oh, you have 30 seconds. Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't have 30 seconds. I have more than 30 seconds.
Well, I have a hard commercial break, but go.
Oh. Okay, Martin Scorsese and Robert De Niro came one night to see the Pee-wee show.
Wow.
And the outfit that Pee-wee wore ended up as a costume for Robert De Niro in...
As Rupert Pupkin?
Yes, as Rupert Pupkin.
Wow. That is a cool fun fact, Katie McClure. Thank you. That's you did it in less than 30 seconds, 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I don't expect you to throw your giant panties on the stage, but it's Christmas. The least you can do is pay attention.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Paula in Santa Fe. It's for you, Edie.
Hello.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, thanks for making us laugh every morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Humor gets us through this mess.
Woof. That and a little Chardonnay. Go ahead.
Anyway, we had the exact same thing happen with a skunk spraying under our house, under our bed, middle of the night, exactly. And there's a way to get rid of that smell, and it's called a little machine called an ozonator, O-Z-O-N-A-T-O-R. It creates ozone, just manufactures it, three oxygen molecules, and it's you put it in an enclosed space for like 24 hours, run it on high, it kills bacteria, mold, fungus, and it gets rid of the smell. It's incredible.
Mm. Is there any way I can train my dog Fred to not think the skunks are his friends that he must go out and play with on a nightly basis? Mm. All right.
Ozonator. Okay.
There you go. You wrote that down.
I wrote
Look
it down.
At you.
Mm. Well, you could close the doggy door.
No, don't be ridiculous. Mary Ellen and Lorraine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
I just wanted to mention, I'm glad you brought up Senator-elect, the Republican John Kasich of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Besides planning on firing any public employee who strikes and giving back to the government that $400 million
mm-hmm.
for rail, he also wants to eliminate prevailing wage rules, which require union-scale jobs on public construction projects. So he wants to really bust all the unions, the police, the fire, everybody.
Great.
And he said it costs the city money to have this people make decent wages. Well, you know, arbitration isn't always won by the employee. It's a lot of times it's you know, it's equal opportunity. Sometimes the state would win or the employer would win, and sometimes the employee. And union salary
or a compromise of the two?
Right.
Yeah,
it's a compromise.
Exactly.
He wants to do away with that. Plus, he wants to fire you if you strike.
Yep.
And union salaries, we all know, a decent wage. The people pay more taxes in your community. You support the local schools, the fire, the city services. You keep your property values up. And you spend the money in your community. But
yep.
When the non-union shops pay lower wages, the owner is the one that makes the most money, and he's usually not spending
yep.
it.
Listen,
in
you're
that
talking.
Community.
You're talking to a couple of union gals. You're talking
right.
our language.
Fine.
All right. All right. Thank you, honey. All right. Lots of stuff to get to. By the way, Edie, I don't know if you saw any of the coverage of Elizabeth Edwards' funeral. We have to give a big shout out to the 300 people that showed up in the rain to counter protest the five idiots from Westboro Baptist Church that went to protest. Mrs. Edwards' funeral, who I guess in 2007 said she is completely comfortable with gay marriage, so that's why they had to show up. Because, you know, she hadn't been through enough in her life, so they had to show up at her. And I don't know if you saw her daughter speak, but just reading the article made me break down. That's my New Year's resolution, is to be more like Elizabeth Edwards. We have Kate Edwards, her daughter, spoke.
Emma, Jack, and I ended every conversation with our mom by saying, I love you more. And she always responded, no, I love you more. And as you can imagine, none of us ever won that battle. Mm. But today I have the honor of being the last to say, Mom, I really, really love you more.
Oy. And how about this was the part that got me, Kate Edwards.
When she could barely speak anymore, my dad and I sat at her bedside and held each of her hands. And she just kept looking at us back and forth saying, I'm okay. I'm okay. She was way more worried about us than we were about her.
Ay vey. All right. Elizabeth Edwards. We had her on the show. She was just as warm and funny and smart as you would think she would be. She just was an amazing woman. All right. Let's go to Carol in San Antonio, asking the same questions we've been asking over and over again about the teabaggers and the deficit. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
You do make my day, sweetie pie.
Hey.
And I love you dearly.
Thank
and
you, Lamb Chop.
If you ever need somebody to adopt you, I'll take you in a heartbeat.
Okay. that's coming soon.
But I do think that there is a deafening silence from the right, the people who banged on us for the last 2 years.
The teabaggers.
The baggers. Where are they? Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be out here protecting my deficit. You know, they're my deficit hawks. My God.
Right.
You know, it's just a big joke. And it's sad. But yep. You know what? I'm 65, and like I said, I listen to you in the morning to keep going, and I listen to Mike Malloy at night to get mad again.
and then I calm you down in the morning. All right. Thank you. Let's go to Roz in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Roz, welcome.
Oh, good. And Jim, by the way, before I get into what I was going to say, I'm with you on the 9/11 thing.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Give me a call. We'll chat.
Anyway. Oh, get in line, all the women that want to snuggle in the conspiracy bunker with Jim Ward.
Well, I'm trying to get to the front of the line, Stephanie. But anyway, there was a lady that called earlier, and she said something that's very indicative of what a lot of people say about the tax breaks and people drawing unemployment. What about people like my mom, 75 years old? She lives on a fixed income. She needs these tax breaks right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing, is that I'm not willing to gamble with other people's lives, and particularly people out of they're going to run out of unemployment right before Christmas. By the way, a fine American, B wrote to me. Said, Steph, love your show. Just some thoughts on the circular firing squad regarding tax cuts. This is addressed to the progressive community in general. This is not the West Wing. Not every issue gets a witty and romantic solution. Sometimes you just have to do your job. The president's job is to look out for the welfare of the American people, not score political points against the Republicans. Critics of this plan can't answer the following question. What about the people? They'll give a ton of advice on how to toughen up or grow a spine, but they can't give a valid, practical plan that gets 60 votes in the Senate. The end. Period. Give me a better plan that has the votes and I'm all ears. But until that happens, these pundits seem as though they could care less about what happens to the poor, unless and until critics can come up with a better plan that gets 218 votes in the House and 60 votes in the Senate. This is not a debate for me. It's frickin' Christmas, people. People, real people, are relying on these benefits to live. Forget a Christmas present. A lot of these people need benefits to eat. If liberals want to make a political point at the expense of the poor, be my guest, but please remove that progressive label, because turning your back on the poor at Christmas to teach Republicans a lesson is not progress. From B, I think she's paraphrasing Tom Kenny when she's trying to say, don't be a jerk, it's Christmas. I think she's talking to Republicans and some Democrats alike.
SpongeBob here. Christmas means presents and mistletoe, sharing and caring. So during this most festive season, please, don't be a jerk. Bring joy to the world, it's a thing to do. But the world does not revolve around you. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
If somebody, the president was smart, he actually should have hired Tom Kenny and that whole chorus to come into Congress and put it all on the line. The Dream Act, the 9/11 health bill, unemployment benefits, and just had Tom Kenny sing. And I think it would have solved everything, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well.
If only it were true.
Gary in Detroit. Hello, Gary.
Steph, how you doing?
Good.
Good. God, love you guys' show. You got a great show. But I can't understand how, by letting these tax breaks go through, we're playing right into the hands of Republicans. Because when they take control of the House, and this, you guys never talk about this, it drives me crazy. What they're going to do, we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling with the new budget. Republicans are going to say, no, we're going to cut spending. And then what's Obama going to do? I mean, it's going to throw 30, 40 million more people into health care, into poverty, if we don't stop them now. Because once they're not going to raise the debt ceiling. They already said that. Mm-hmm. They're going to cut spending. And it's going to be on to people who can afford it least. So it's a giveaway to them. I just don't understand why it's not talked about more. Yeah. Well, help me with that.
It just was. There you go.
And Social Security is also going to be at risk with the payroll tax aspect of this.
Well, I mean, that's, like we were saying, these people that think that this deficit doesn't count, the tax cuts for the rich that add all this money to the deficit, that doesn't count. So, yeah, what's left? It's like, yeah, Social Security, Medicaid, all that stuff's going to have to go. Because that's... do you think Tom Kenny could get us Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Edie? What do you think? Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
James in Santa Barbara. Hello, James.
Hi. How you doing?
Yes. Hello.
Hi. I had a question. I was wondering if you guys got a chance to see Boehner last night on 60 Minutes.
Yes.
And I'm just kind of blown away by... these emotional swings that he has, and I was wondering if you guys think maybe there's a chance he's carrying a flask around in his coat pocket.
Flask.
A flask. I know. What do you think, Edie?
Very unstable.
Is this acting? Is it unstable? Is it
very
a drinking
unstable
problem? Let's listen again.
Making sure that these kids have a shot at the American dream. like I did.
Wow.
Really bad sinus problem.
We don't even know what kids he's talking about, I guess. I don't, because not any kids that he's actually voting for things for. Child nutrition? No, he voted against that.
No.
Let's go to Mark in Musselvania. Hi, Mark. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steph, it's well and good to hide behind the 99ers for this tax cut thing, but you're mortgaging Social Security.
Yep.
Exactly. I am. Oh, I'm personally giving away more Social Security.
Well, you're running up the debt, and then we'll come get it from Social Security. It's a classic mafia trick.
Which mafia trick? Are we talking horse head in the bed, or what do you mean?
Well, it's a loan sharking deal. It's we'll come get this money back when you're flush.
Oh, I see what I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean,
and Social Security is the ultimate target. We should never have trusted Obama's white hat.
Trusted his what?
His white hat.
Oh, his white hat.
White
his
hat.
Oh, his white. I see. Okay, his white hat has betrayed us.
Mm. No, but the people are worried that the payroll tax cut is going to threaten Social Security. It's a Trojan horse, you know.
Yes, I have heard that. Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Good morning, all. Say, I'm a former contract negotiator for the AFL-CIO.
Uh-huh.
And Steph, I totally agree with you. The immorality of not extending the unemployment benefits and having everybody's taxes go up in this economy, I totally get that. But the problem I have with this is, tell me what you guys think. Don't the Democrats or President Obama specifically seem like they negotiate backwards with themselves before they give things away before the Republicans even come to the table.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of frustration, especially as someone who used to negotiate contracts.
Right. But Jeff,
we would go in with a strong platform, and then we had things in there that we would give away.
Right.
That we didn't really want. We just had stuff that we would throw away. And
right.
Putting the freeze on federal wages for 2 years. Well, we all know that's not going to do really much of anything. And so why do you announce that before the negotiations even start?
Well,
why don't you keep that in your...
Jeff, I hear you. And then but another person could say, you know, it's smart politics because, you know, the people the president's got to win back are the people in the middle. And he looks like he's reaching out and he's compromising and he's trying to get things done. And
well, I'm in the middle. I'm a small business owner in Minneapolis. And you know, you can keep giving your lunch money to the bully every day, but the bully's still slapping you around. And the problem is as you guys...
But, you know, Jeff, all I'll say is there was stuff...
for losing with the Republicans, so why not go in strong?
Well, Jeff, all I'm saying is, you know, you and I weren't at the behind-the-scenes negotiating, and all I'm saying is that, you know, to me, when the compromise in the Senate that Chuck Schumer, you know, put forth failed... It just goes to show you where the Republicans were on this. I don't think that you're a negotiator. You know when someone's playing chicken and when they're not. They already let the unemployment benefits run out. They weren't bluffing on that.
Right. I understand that. One thing, could someone maybe you guys can explain this to me. Why is it that the Republicans get stuff done with the slimmest of majorities?
Because they all march in lockstep, and we form a circular firing squad, and we have these conservadems. Am I right? I'll ask Edie McClurk if I'm right after this. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, back with all of that celebrity stack and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
My opinion is you're nuts.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Get it. Get it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm already down on it. I don't need to get there at all.
Huh? He's been there all morning. Okay, this hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your important computer files with Carbonite Online. Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie.
It's a deal.
Thank you. Amy Clark, speaking of deals, what do you think of the tax deal? You don't want
to
say.
I try not to think about it.
Okay.
Because very soon I'll be going for my Social Security.
Oh,
so I don't want them to take it away from me.
Edie, no one's taking it.
I've paid in since 19, and, well, since I was 19 years old, I've been paying into Social Security.
I've been paying into it since 1906.
It wasn't in...
I was counting on my onion as a retirement package.
Jamal in Massachusetts writes, Steph, my feeling is this. A lot of pundits don't speak for me. I agree with a lot of what they say from time to time, but they don't speak for me. The base does not necessarily take offense at the president just because Keith Olbermann or Ed Schultz or whoever doesn't like what he had to say that day. Websites and TV pundits do not a base make. It's people, and these pundits don't speak for me. I think it's okay for Stephanie Miller or Randy Rhodes or Chris Matthews or Lawrence O'Donnell to disagree with them on a given issue. I've got news for you. It takes more than one election in 2 years to get it done. It takes some compromise and, yes, even a couple of bitter pills and turn cheeks along the way to get it done. Pay closer attention to the civil rights movement. It was nonviolent. It, in many respects, was built on the premise of delayed gratification and small steps, turn cheeks, and compromise. So you want to see revolutionary change? Forget primarying the president. Find a way to take back the House of Representatives in 2012. Find a way to register millions upon millions of new voters. Find a way to educate your communities and engage them so that the come election time we can finally see the real American majority take over. Find a way to get 70 Democrats in the Senate instead of having to rely on the likes of Joe Lieberman and Ben Nelson to break a filibuster. And for crying out loud, stop with the damn circular firing squad. Thanks, Jamal in Massachusetts. P.S. As a matter of tone, the left has pulled no punches when it comes to this president. A quick Google search and a look at cable news will show that President Obama has been called even worse by his so-called allies.
It seems like
I don't like helping the right do their work.
There are no good options here. I mean, it seems like we're screwed either way.
Thank you, Eeyore. It's the Eeyore of the Stephanie Miller Show. I know.
Well, I have a letter here.
Oh, here's good news. What? Charlie Pierce is back tomorrow.
Hey.
Oh! Yes. Edie McClurg, a letter from?
It's a letter to the editor up in the Northwest. I'm sure you'll get a better written response from someone better known than me, but it's therapeutic to put my thoughts on paper. When this deficit commission came out with its report, it was easy to see the direction that they want to take the country, lower taxes again for the people who should be paying more but aren't, and make up the difference on the backs of the old and the sick. This is more baldly stated in the plan of Representative Paul Ryan and echoed by Little Miss Echo Sarah Palin. May she someday get an original thought. The central feature, in addition to lowering the corporate tax rate from its current onerous 35%, which few, if any, really pay, is to throw the old and disabled to the wolves of the medical insurance industry by turning the current benefit into a voucher which people can purchase their own care with. Those of us who have been on Medicare and its daughter Advantage plans can attest to the feeding frenzy that arises during each open enrollment period, looking for more fish to fry from new and previous beneficiaries. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to envision the picture of this multiplied by the millions of seniors who would be given greater control over their own health care spending, unquote. I'm sure Ms. Palin must know someone who is on Medicare. She should just sit down for a private chat with a few of them. What needs to happen is to restore the basis of the income tax to its original progressivity. Those who make more must pay a greater percentage of their income in tax. That's the way it was until we got the tax cuts for the rich in 1981. And how's that working out? This is from my brother, Jack McClurg, in Marysville, Washington.
Thank you. You come from a smart family.
He's my idol.
Aw. By the way, guess who's not going to be paying any more taxes? Howard Stern, who just got a new 5-year deal at SiriusXM. He'll be paid $80 million a year. Whew, thank God he won't be paying any more taxes.
Is he going to have to get by on that?
Yes. Oh, thank God we got to cut the tax cuts for the rich.
Yikes.
Don't they lose yikes?
I heard Seacrest got a $60 million.
Yes, but that's only $20 million a year.
Oh, that makes me like dead.
He's a pauper.
You know the cost of living here in L.A.
Mm. Gagmeister.
One thing we know about Piers Morgan, new CNN show, he will not be booking Madonna.
Oh.
He said she is so boring, she's too vegan for TV.
Who?
We have Lady Gaga now, so Madonna is banned from my show. I don't know. I miss Larry King already. Yeah. I'm going to Larry King's farewell party this weekend in Los Angeles. Oh, I'm going to be drinking more than usual. Edie McClurg, delightful as always. Thank you.
Thank
you. Give your brother our love.
I'm going up to the mountaintop now.
All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.